I try as I might. I kept trying to say, Lord, I taught this last week, or the last calling in the lost. And the title we put on that one was Known of God. But I just can't get away from this. And you may not know this. There was a prophecy right near the end of the young adults conference. And it's one of the few services where they had a line for people, anyone that wanted prayer for anything. And Dave taught us well. He says, look, I can only prophesy when God's talking. I can't prophesy when he's not. So, you know, all these young faces are coming up and they're hoping that, you know, we have a word for them. Sometimes we do, you know, sometimes God's talking. And if he does, well, I'm happy to share that, you know. But this particular night, I started going to, and there was nearly everybody came up, most of them. So they had me on this half. And Nathan and Richard Edgar were on this half. So I start down the line, and yeah, okay, good. Yes, I hear. And I told the person, and then I went to the next person, and he said the exact same thing. And I went to the next person. It was the exact same thing. And then I realized, okay, this is not an individual word. This is a word for us, you know, not just the youth either. But the essence of the word went like this. This is the year of knowing him. And it's not that we don't know him at all. We all know him to various degrees. But this is the year that we're going to come into a knowing the Lord in a way more real, is that a good word, than we've ever known him before. And so, isn't it interesting that after he says that, now I'm trying to come up with messages, and he's going, no, teach about knowing God. So, okay, do your fingers like this. We're going to quickly review. We're going to go through a Bible drill, all right, or tapping drill if you have a glass phone or glass Bible. All right, you know what I mean, phone with the Bible on it. All right, so let's quickly review. Oh, yes, sir. And we're also getting near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount ends with a pretty strict warning. So let's look at that first. Go to Matthew 7. We're really close. In fact, this morning's message ended right in the passage right before this. So Matthew 7:21. After he's taught this whole long lesson, almost three full chapters, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And boy, is it rich, is it full. And then at the end of it, he gives a real warning here. So he says in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now let's stop right there. You know he's talking about church people. The world is not out there going, Lord, Lord, you know, Lord Jesus. So he's talking about people that attend church. But not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, then who will? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay. Many will say to me in that day, there it is again, Lord, Lord, these are church people. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Doesn't that sound like church? That doesn't sound like the bar people. That sounds like church people, doesn't it? But then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. And here's the defining thing, what we know is going on. Ye that work iniquity. They're still living lifestyles of habitual sin. They're still living in iniquity, even though they're church people. They've prophesied. They've cast out devils. You know, there was a guy in Matthew, in one of the four Gospels, that was casting out devils in the name of Jesus that wasn't even following with the 12. And they made him stop. Jesus says, no, don't stop him. So in other words, you don't even have to be born again to have faith in the name of Jesus to cast out devils. So you can cast out devils and not be saved. Anyway, sidebar. You know, I never knew you. And what he uses as the defining thing is, ye that work iniquity. So last week, okay, now, Bible drill, here we go. We're going to go quickly, not like we did last time. Go to 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3. Let's talk about knowing God. Because one thing that I want on that day, I want Him to know me. I want to say, hey, there's Gary. I know him. Don't you want that? Hey, you call your name. There's Doug. Come on, Doug. I know me and Doug, we're buds. I know Doug, you know, right? Isn't that what we want? Rachel? Yeah, there's Rachel. Come on, Rachel. I'm not leaving anybody out on purpose. You out there, your name. Come on. See? All right. Well, to be known of Him, look at 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, the same, that man or woman, is known of Him. If you love God, He knows you. And see, I was really okay with that. I thought I kind of understood that until I taught the 1 John series. And boy, 1 John just started removing all the gray from my gospel. Because 1 John just plainly tells you, people that live in... I'm just going to pick on one. We'll just pick on fornication. That's usually the first one in the list, or adultery. But people that live in habitual fornication... And I 1 John just plainly says, those are not Christians having trouble with their flesh. Those are not Christians. See, I didn't really know that till the 1 John series. I just all thought, well, that, you know, now, don't get me wrong. This is not a one-time stumble. You remember 1 John? Habitual. This is a lifestyle. You know, maybe years. And there's other things besides fornication. I'm just going to pick on that one. Could be drunkenness. Could be drug abuse. Could be a lot of things. But yet, you know, I have personal experience with people that have that live that way. Yet they just love. They'll just tell you how much they love God. They get a tear in their eye. How much they love Jesus. Doug knows them too, you know, by the truckload. Doug does a lot of work with the Salvation Army and other things over the years. Just, oh yeah, you know, God, I love Jesus. In other words, I'm a man that loves God. Well, now, 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, if you love God, you're known of Him. But see, these same people that tell me that, many of them are living in iniquity, and I mean gross iniquity, and living in it habitually. Well, what's going on here? Do they love God or do they not love God? Well, this is where you need the Word of God. Okay? You don't try and figure this out yourself. God's already given the answer in His Word. Thank God He gave us a teacher by the name of the Holy Ghost, and He'll show you. So, how do you know if you love God? How do you know? Let's say it another way. How do you know if God knows you? Look at our verse again before we leave it. 1 Corinthians 8:3. If any man love God, the same, that man or woman, is known of Him, of God. He knows you if you love Him. So the question is, how do you know if you love Him? Go to 1 John, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. How do you know if you love Him? Well, yeah, I've had Him just high. I told you about that one guy, and he's listening again tonight. I love you, man. There's no, you know, he's already called me. We've talked since then. I talked with him earlier in the day, and I was I was real straight with him. I says, you got to quit this and this and this, or you're going to be in real trouble, you know. He called me later that night. Man, you got trust issues. He was high. You could tell he was high on something. It was about midnight, you know. I don't know what your issue is, man. I'm hurting over here, dude. You know, it's really kind of funny, you know. And he'll just tell you that he loves the Lord. He'll just tell you about his worship and how he loves Jesus and tell you his salvation story and all of that. But he's living in iniquity. You know, it's not just the drugs. It's other things that he already told me about earlier in the day. Okay. Well, but he tells me that he loves God. I've got several that tells me that. Some of them living in open fornication, have been for many years. But they tell me that they love God. Well, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3. First off, hereby we do know that we know Him. So you can stand there and tell me all day that you know Him. But this is really how you know, if you know Him or not. Hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, dude, I know him, man. I love you. I'm praying for you every day. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, what the thing of it is, he doesn't think he's a liar. It's deception. Be not deceived. He doesn't think he's lying. He's, oh, I know him. No. You know a Jesus that does not exist in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have made an idol. A Jesus that is not the same Jesus. Because Jesus plainly said, John 8:12, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. But you're telling me that you're a follower of his, yet you're still walking in darkness 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road. And I'm in gross darkness. Drunkenness, fornication, drug abuse, stealing, other things we could name. So verse 4 again. He that saith, I know him, he can say that all day long, but keepeth not his commandments is a liar. The truth is not in him. But now notice, whoso keepeth his word. Couldn't you say his commandments? Could you say his sayings? Whoso keepeth his word, in him. Now notice, in him, that person that keeps his word, verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. Now, you remember when we went through the First John series? John is only preaching what he heard Jesus preach 50 years ago. 50, 60 years earlier. So let's look where Jesus preached the same thing. John 14. Big John this time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I love him. Well, here's a commandment for you. Go and sin no more. I don't know if I love him that much. But you're telling me you love him. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? No. Do you love him? Yes. Liar. But you don't know you're a liar. See, that's the thing. And what's sad is these people have had so much help from the pulpits. I'm going to say it again. How'd Pastor Dave say that? Milk toast, panty waste, weak kneed preachers who won't stand up with any spine and give the truth of the gospel because they want to please people and build big churches. No. We're talking about knowing him. I'm telling you, on that day, you do not want to walk up and have Jesus say to you, I don't know you. Well, he'll know you if you love him. Well, how do you know if you love him? If you love me, John 14, 15, keep my commandments. Here we go again. John's just preaching what he heard Jesus preach all those years ago. Come down to verse 21 of that same chapter, John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Let's come on down to verse 24, because Jesus, he does a Jane see the ball thing here where you can't get it wrong. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Or you could say my words. You could say my commandments. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. But I'm telling you, if you deal with people like ministers have to deal with people, you're going to run into them all the time that are involved in every kind of iniquity you can think of. Not all of them doing all of them, but I mean, it'll be fornication, it'll be drug abuse, it'll be drunkenness, it'll be thievery, it'll be, you know, whatever. But they'll stand there and tell you their church going, sing in the choir, worshiping, and when you get them talking about Jesus, they'll cry. They will. And the sad truth is, the deception level is so high, they honestly think they know him. I'm going to say one step worse. They honestly think they love him, but they don't love him, because the word of God is truth. And if you don't keep his commandments, you don't know him. And if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. One more time. It's not Gary saying this. I'm just saying what the word of God says. 1 John 14:24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. I love him. I just love Jesus. Living in fornication. Getting high every other day. Really? Cry. I love him. No, you don't. Are you keeping his commandments? Well, no. You don't. It's worse. You don't love him. What's sad is you don't really even know him. See, I've had this. This is a scary dream. I hope you don't have it. I have it every now and then, where Jesus walks into my life, and he is so, let's say it this way, it's uncomfortable when he does that, because he doesn't approve of a lot of things. See, the real one is this one. He does not change. He is the express image of God, and he does not change. If he didn't like it then, he don't like it now. If he says he set you free, he sets you free. And he don't want to hear your static about it. He don't want to hear your flesh excuses either. Because he gave you enough power to be free. Because he's joined his lip. And we'll get to that in a minute. He has joined with you with his own strength. There is nothing that you can't put off. There's no sin that you can't put off. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the whole gospel, is Christ in you. See, he didn't ask us to do this all in ourselves. He says, I'm going to get in there with you. I'm going to join my strength, my spirit with your spirit. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. You become a new creature that did not exist before. And now you have the very strength of Christ to overcome sin. And you're going to tell him that him in you is not enough. That's not a discussion you want to have. I get all the shouting messages during this season. I'm telling you what. Hallelujah. See, mere religious activity is not enough. Do you notice he said many? Isn't that scary? Church people, they're going, well, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils. We did all these wonderful things. But did you stop sinning? Well, no. I don't know you. Depart from me. Come on to. Okay. Now we'll do a course adjustment. That's all from last week. Are you still in 1 John? Huh? Okay, back to 1 John. Big John, little John. Back to little John. While you're going there, I'm going to remind you of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Here's another really good verse about knowing God and him knowing you. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See how that's together again? Him knowing you and departing from iniquity? Let me read it again. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Boy, you know what a seal is. That's when the king puts his seal on a letter. You don't mess with that seal. Well, you don't mess with this. You can argue with him all you want, but the Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Every time that he says, depart from me, I don't know you. Every time he says, you workers of iniquity. Okay. Now, 1 John chapter 5, this is a great verse for knowing him. This is the last two verses of 1 John. How many remember the 1 John series? And by the way, if you're out there, if you have not heard the series that the Lord had me teach on 1 John, it's at our website, garycarpenter.org. Click on media on the left side. It takes you to a list. And one of those in that list is the 1 John series. It's available in MP3, video on YouTube, and there's some handouts and confessions that goes with it. But I really recommend that series to you. Changed my life, changed a lot of people's lives. But after that wonderful teaching in 1 John, which there are 20, 21 lessons he had me teach, he's concluding in these two verses. Now notice, after all of that, 1 John 5, verses 20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. Now notice, that we may what? That we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Earlier here he says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. We may get to that again in a minute. But then the very next sentence, I didn't get it for years why he concluded with this. Keep yourselves from idols. Back then it made, you know, they had idols back then. You know, they had different temples and different idols. We don't have that so much. So I'm going, why is that in your eternal word? Oh, I've got it now in spades. Christian idolatry is rampant in the churches today. People make up a Jesus in their own image all the time. A Jesus who condones whatever it is they want to do, and they put grace over the door. Like God's grace. Oh yeah, I can continue living in fornication and His grace covers it. No, He'll give you space to repent. But bless God, you better repent. Even in the book of Revelations, He gave Jezebel and her followers space to repent. But that doesn't mean forever. And if they die in that... if He says, I gave them space to repent and they did not, you don't even want to know what comes next. It was not good. Okay. So when He says, keep yourselves from idols, Christian idolatry is rampant in the churches today because people do not truly know Him who is true. There's only one Jesus, and it's the one walking through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He is the express image of God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that right? Well, you can't make a different Jesus. You can't make a Jesus as Jesus says, go and sin no more. You can't make one up and says, it's okay if you keep sinning. That's an idol. That's not the real Jesus. You've made a different Jesus. And you can love when they cry like that. I didn't realize it for a long time. They're actually loving an idol. Not the real Christ. I didn't prepare this. My friend, the one who says, dude, I love this guy, okay? I wonder what it'd be like if the real Jesus walks in right during the middle of one of them smoke, you know, marijuana or whatever it is. He's high as a kite. Hi, Jesus, I'm glad you approve of this. You think that's what it's going to be? Well, how about this one? Oh, hi. I'm sure glad you understand that I can't quit this. See, y'all do know I'm the poster boy for this because I didn't understand this for... I smoked for eternity in 3 days before I finally understood it. Bless God, I can't go back to it now. I'm accountable, okay? But I'm trying to help you understand it so you don't have to go as long as I did, okay? Jesus isn't going to walk in there and hear any of your flesh excuse. He's going to listen to that. He says, look, I'm in you. My strength is in you. Go and sin no more. Put that down. Yeah, but put it down. That's the real Jesus, and people don't want to know Him. Jesus said that. He said, the light has come, but people love darkness rather than the light. And they would not come to the light, because if they did, their deeds would be exposed, and they don't want to have to quit it. Well, you better want to quit it. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are the point of the spear, but you're the ones here. You're the only ones I have to preach this to. Anyway. And to be honest with you, Amen. This message is no good to go out and preach on the streets because they have no capacity to understand it in the first place. There's only one message for the sinner. That's Christ and Him crucified. They got to be born again before they can even be taught. So this is like Christianity 101. You'll be teaching this to people yourselves. Okay? So John's letter, now I understand why it ends. Keep yourself from idols. Do not be remaking Jesus in any other image than what He is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? Jesus is the express image of God. Let's just put that in your arsenal. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Alan's been doing a wonderful job teaching out of Hebrews. We'll just look at a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Man, we could preach forever right there. Who being the brightness of His glory, and for today's lessons, notice, the express image of His person. Boy, there it is. See, that's why God would never let man make any graven image, even trying to represent God, even out of a heart of love. He says, don't you be trying to make an image, you know, out of stone or anything, trying to represent who I am, because you'll get it wrong. You don't know who I am. I will provide the image of who I am. And Jesus is that express image. He is the express image. And you can't change Him. If you change Him in your thinking and begin worshiping some different Jesus, that is an idol. That's no longer in the image of God. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I mainly just wanted to show He is the express image of God. He is the one we worship. He is the only image of God that we worship. Amen? Okay. She's helping me preach over here. Hallelujah. So Jesus, the one who walks through the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He is the express image of God. Now here's the question. Do you know Him? Or do you know some other Jesus? Do you worship a Jesus who condones sin? That's an idol. Because the true one said, go and sin no more. The same Jesus that empowered us to go and sin no more, He did it. This is the grace of God that I didn't understand for years. The true grace of God. For hundreds of years, God had given the law. And people that love God and tried to keep it, like the guy in Romans 7, he says, God, I agree, Your law is holy and good, and I want to keep it. Did everything he could. With my mind, I'm going to serve your law. But without, just on his own, in the fallen state of man, nobody could keep it. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. So the gospel is, first off, Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for all of us. Thank God for that. But if it ended there, we'd just be powerless sinners, forgiven sinners. We'd still be sinners by nature. But the wonderful part of the gospel, He made it power through the resurrection and the life that He has now. He has become the last Adam. When you believe on Him, literally His life comes into you. And that's what He said in John 8:12. Those that follow Me shall not walk in darkness. Well, why not? For they shall have the light of life. And He starts it off, I'm the light of the world. He's the light. He's the life. I like to look at it now this way, because the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. So He comes to little old Gary, who's tried to quit sinning, tried to quit sinning, tried to quit sinning. I'm the Romans 7 guy. I'm not going to do that bad thing. I'm not going to do that bad thing. And I wind up doing that bad thing. I want to start doing the good thing. I don't wind up doing the good thing. You know. So God's looking on our dilemma. He says, look, first off, I'm going to forgive you through the blood of Jesus. Secondly, when you believe on Him, He is going to join with your spirit in such a way that you're going to literally become a new creature. You're not going to be old you anymore. Old powerless you. Christ is coming inside of you. Remember that lesson we did on the Sermon on the Mount? The Savior has come on the inside. That's grace. That's what grace is. He has joined with you in such a way that you have access to His power. And that's why it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I'm telling you right now, there's no sin you can't walk free from. I know I'm preaching to the choir. You guys could probably preach this as well or better than me. But I can't go anywhere else right now. And somehow this is leading us into knowing Him in a way we have not known Him before. So this same Jesus has empowered us now to go and sin no more by joining His Spirit. Yes, sir. Let me tell you this too. Bronk. And I don't mean to just... I listen to Bronk and Jim and whoever preaches here. I'm a little bit behind because we've been in Chicago, but I'll get caught up in a day or two. Bronk just did a message called Beyond. Something like Beyond Stopping Sin. Listen, this should be pablum. This should be kindergarten stuff. We need to get done with the sin issue and get on about our Father's business. Because really, it's a shame at this point to even mention sin in this church. You should deal with that, get that gone, because we need to be about our Father's business. And there's a dying that... Yes, sir. We'll just go there. Go over to Philippians. I think I've already got it on here. Yes, I do. Philippians chapter 3. And you know how that one starts? Paul starts giving his pedigree. Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day, so forth and so on. But then starting in verse 7, Philippians 3:7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as..." This New King James here says rubbish, and the King James it says dung, "that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now here, verse 10. "That I may know Him." Now, don't you find that interesting? Paul has been preaching the gospel for decades when he wrote this letter. He wrote this letter from prison because he had been serving Jesus so faithfully. So Paul, for decades, has walked with the Lord, served the Lord, given his life to the Lord. He knows the Lord. But there's a knowing the Lord beyond where he was walking then. So I said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." Now get this. "And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death." Now, can't be talking about the death that Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. He's talking about that take up your cross daily. Christ didn't just die on the cross. He took up His cross daily and kept His flesh on that cross. "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Listen, we're all going to stand before Christ on that day. He's not talking about the resurrection then. He is talking about walking in the resurrection life that we have now. Jesus was walking in that life from the get-go. The life that He had spawned in Mary was the light of life. But now, you know, we don't have time to reteach all those lessons. He took spiritual death upon Himself. He became the serpent that swallowed up all the other serpents. He paid the price, but then He was raised, resurrected from the dead. It's that same life that He was resurrected with. Was the same life that He was spawned with Mary in the first place. You got that? What we call born again, that was His first nature. Okay? That was His first life. So what you see is a man walking in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with that life. And Paul says, "I want to do the same. I want to attain to that same life." It wasn't available to us until after the resurrection, but now it's available to us. And he says, "I want to know that resurrection. I want to walk as he walked. And see, here we go. We're cycling back to 1 John. We should walk as he walked. You remember that? As he is, so are we in this world. We are a child of light. We should walk as a child of light. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, if we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. So what God's trying to do is get past the sin things. We need to deal with, get that in our rearview mirror big time. Get all of, just get that over with. And let's get on about our Father's business, because this resurrection life, this is what, this is the quest of the prayer center. Let's finish up there. Go to Big John 14. And verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now this is, I just heard this and I had to back up to make sure it was there. Back up to verse 9. Verse 8. Genesis 1. No, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? Now notice this. I heard this. And yet hast thou not known me? I was just going to do verse 12. Now I heard that verse in my spirit. He's saying, no, back up. Have you not known me? If I had been Philip, I'd have probably said, I guess not. Or you wouldn't be asking me that question. Don't you know who I am? Do you know me? He answers it. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now listen, we're coming into a place, this is not pride at all. This is exactly the purpose of the gospel. It needs to come to the place where the world, when they see you, they have seen Jesus. You got that? Not in a prideful way at all. You're not the Savior. You're not God. But we are so to be so conformed to that same image. The same way Jesus. It's not pride. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why does he say that? Because he totally surrendered his whole life to the Father. Not just in the garden, his whole life. He never got married. He never had kids. He never went to college, had a career, never vacated around. You know, he laid down his whole life to the Father, so he's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because the Father's living his life through me. Is that good enough? Well, we need to come to the place where if the world sees you, they've seen Jesus. And not only that, they've seen the Father in Jesus in you. Because we're going to wind up doing the same works. It's exactly what John said. As he is, so are we in this world. We should walk as he walked. And if we do that, see, that's real love. You lay your life down for him. Starts with obeying his commandments. I remember that. Yes, sir. I remember that time there was this couple I didn't want to forgive. I was just starting out. I didn't know hardly anything. And I come to that part where you got to forgive from the heart. And I didn't want to forgive from the heart. Now, here we go. See, here we go. My will and his will. I don't want to forgive him. He says, well, if you don't forgive him, you're not going to go very far with me. So what, I want to go far with you, then you need to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. See? Now, you could take that to anything. You could take that same thing where your life doesn't line up with his will. Well, what's going to happen? I could have held on to the unforgiveness. By now, I'd be a bitter, shriveled up old man if I was even alive at all. I sure wouldn't be in ministry, you know. No, I had to surrender my will to his will. And you know what? He taught me how to forgive them. And that happened. Thank God that all happened, and we're good friends today. You know, thank God. See? But that's how it starts. You surrender your will to his will. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for our Pastor Dave, who taught us about the Holy Ghost. Because we don't even often know where we're conflicting with his will. I didn't realize I was till he showed me from the Word. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. He showed me, and then he helped me. And then he gave me the strength how to do it. And it's been wonderful. It's that way with every part of life. Say it with me one more time. I am coming to the place where when the world sees me, they see Jesus. Because I am conformed to the image of Christ. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in me. And I yield my life to Him. Hallelujah. We're going to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. We're going to walk in that resurrection life. All right.